All right, so we are in John 15, and we've, for everybody who hasn't been here, we've looked at chapter 14, we're looking at chapter 15 today and next week, and we've already looked at a lot of chapter 16 as well. And so in this passage, John 14, 15, and 16, the theme, the topic is a person. And who is that? Who is the topic? Who is the theme of John 14, 15, and 16? It's the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit is the topic of this passage. Now, we looked for a few weeks on who the Holy Spirit is, how Jesus introduced him. And today we're going to get to the meat of the passage that talks about what the Spirit is doing in our life. We're talking about bearing good fruit, being fruitful as believers. All right, and I had some notes, and I need to get them open. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll start reading in John 15. Actually, why don't you just read verses 1 and 2 with me? John 15, verses 1 and 2, read it out loud, then we'll have a word of prayer. You ready? Here we go. John 15, verse 1, together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time that we can have studying your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our hearts. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. The setting of what we've read so far, what do we say was the setting? Where was this conversation taking place where he talks about the Comforter and the Holy Spirit? And where was this all happening? Yeah, in the upper room. This was the Last Supper. As Jesus was preparing for his crucifixion, this is literally the night before Jesus was going to go to the cross. When we get to chapter 15 in the first verses, we don't know 100%, but many people feel that what's happened now, as Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, is the conversation has moved locations. And where perhaps could they be right now as this conversation is taking place? Yeah? Okay. Where were they headed? They're headed to the garden. They're headed to the Mount of Olives. And so all around, this is an agricultural area, so it's just very possible that as they're walking, they're potentially walking by groves, be they olives or as they're going up the Mount of Olives, or be they vineyards that had been set up there. And so it's possible that as they're now walking and heading toward the garden where Jesus will spend time in prayer before the soldiers take him away, that there's a vine, there are branches, there are trees, there's growth that's taking place all around them. And right there, they perhaps stop and they see a branch. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. There's a few things I want to show you here. And what I want to do, though, is I want to read a longer passage, then I want to come back and look at it in a little more depth. By the way, whenever you read or study the Bible, that's a good practice to get into. Perhaps it's something that we'll do, but years ago I did an exercise with our teenagers where we took a couple of Wednesday nights, and we would take a passage of Scripture, and I'd make them read the whole thing. I didn't teach anything. I just had them read the whole passage of Scripture and write down whatever the biggest thoughts that stood out to them. And then I said, all right, now let's go back through it, and let's read it again. And we went through that method of studying the Bible. So I want to do that right now. I want to read these 16 verses. I want to get the big picture, then I want to come back and show you a few things that stand out. So let's read it together. We already read verses 1 and 2. Verse number 3. Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So what I'd like you to do with me this morning is, if you have a pen, or if you can just make a mental note, or if you underline anything in your Bible or mark anything, You see if you can pick out the main theme of what happens here. It should be pretty simple. And see things that you might notice carefully. Ready? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. A few things here that just are obvious, that just jump out, or should at least jump out at us. What do you see in here? What do you see, the concepts or the topics in here? That's an excellent observation. That starts out right at the beginning. The true vine, the Father is the husbandman, and Jesus says basically, you are the branches. So there's a relationship from the Father and the Son that then comes to us. In fact, we already saw that in the previous chapter, right? Because Jesus said in the previous chapter that the Father's given me all things, but I'm leaving, and then who is going to stay with you? The Holy Spirit. So you'll have that fellowship with us. What else do we see in these verses? Fruit. Fruit is all over here, right? Fruit. There's bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Did you notice that in there? There's branches bearing fruit, then there's more fruit, there's much fruit. There's like this progression of fruitfulness. My apple trees, I think, got wiped out this year by the late frost because there's nothing happening. There's not any fruitfulness. But we won't cut them down and throw them into the fire just yet. We'll give them another year. Fruitfulness is all over here. So the relationship, the Father, the Son, the disciple, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the unspoken obvious in this passage, right? If you just read chapter 15, you wouldn't realize that this is all accomplished by the Holy Spirit, right? Because he doesn't talk a lot about the Spirit. He's not speaking about the Spirit. But chapter 14 was all about the Spirit. So now we see in 15, this is what the Spirit is doing in our lives. We saw who he is, now we see what he's doing, and he's causing us to do what? To bear fruit. What else do we see in here? What else do we see? There's something that occurs even more than fruitfulness in this passage. Is a word. Abide. Look at it all the times. Look at verse number 4. Abide in me. That word appears 3 times in verse number 4. You see that? Abide in me. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse number 5, he that abideth in me. Verse number 6, if a man abide not in me. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Verse number 9, you'd have to know a little bit. Look at verse there. It's in here too. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then the operative word is what? Continue. Continue ye. That's the same as abide. Verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide. And at the end of verse 10, abide in his love. I've got most of them circled in this Bible. I broke out another Bible today that has a lot of notes in it. Abide. It's everywhere. Look at verse number 16 too, because there's a connection here too. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. We're going to talk about that word abide. Now, abide, what does abide mean? What does it mean to abide? To dwell, place to live, There's a literal meaning of the word, and it was actually translated this way in this passage. It means to remain. Okay, you might want to write that down or make a note of that. It's to abide is to dwell, but it's the place that you stay. It's the place that you remain. And it's actually, John, this is when we were in Bible school, this is one of the first passages they start to have us work on when we study Greek, because that word is so predominant. When you've got one word that occurs over and over and over and over and over again, it's easy to translate it because you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. So they had us work on that. But the word is meno, to remain, to abide, to continue, to dwell. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus began this discussion in verse number 4, in chapter number 14, talking about a place? Do you remember that? Back in chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to live there, right? You're going to live there with me. It's a heavenly dwelling place. The word is what? For a heavenly dwelling place. What's the word? It's a mansion. We're kind of reviewing stuff that we're connecting some dots here this morning. It's a mansion. It's a place to dwell. So Jesus says, I am leaving, but I'm preparing a place where we will abide together. And then, as he goes on, so not only is there a place where we're going to abide, where we will abide with him, but he's sending us someone, the Holy Spirit, who is going to what? With us. So I'm preparing a place for you to abide eternally, and you're going to remain there, you're going to continue there, you're going to be there, and I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remain, continue, abide with you. But now in chapter 15, he tells us that we then have a responsibility to what? It's not a trick question. It's all leading up to this. To abide, to remain, to continue in him. So it's a theme that's traced throughout this, all these chapters. Some of you are really gripped by that, I can tell this morning. But I think that's fascinating, all right? This is all going somewhere. All right? I want you to notice something else that's interesting. Okay? Look at verse number 1. Jesus says, what does he start with? Two words that he starts with are what? I am. Did you know the book of John is filled with I am statements? I am, I am. What are some of the I am statements that Jesus makes in the book of John? Do you know? I am the way. We saw that earlier. What's another one? Yep, Adam just said that one. I am what? I am the door. I am the door. I am the good. I'm the good shepherd. There's several. I believe there's 7 or 8. And this is the final one. This is the last great I am statement. And Jesus refers to himself as the what? As the vine, but not just the vine, but the true vine. Why does he refer to himself as the true vine? What does that imply? There's a false vine. Yeah, there are false vines, but what I want you to know is that there was an imperfect vine. There was an imperfect vine. What vine would he be referring to? So that now he is the true vine. I want you to think Old Testament, because remember, Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. Everything. Like, well, see, that's it. There's Adam, but then there's the true Adam. That's Jesus. There's every type, every picture in the Old Testament. There's the law, but then Jesus is true righteousness, right? He's the complete fulfillment. The vine was who in the Old Testament? This one you have to know your Bible. Who's the vine in the Old Testament? Huh? Israel. You can read the prophets. Israel was the vine. God was supposed to show and demonstrate his glory through the nation of Israel. He says, I think it's Jeremiah, where I planted you as a good vine, but you grew he calls them a degenerate vine, and you bore wild grapes. And so there's Israel, and this is just another, Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament. Israel is supposed to be the vine, but he tells his disciples, you know what? But I'm the true vine. That was just an inadequate picture of who I am. And everything, all of God's fulfillment was not going to be through Israel, but all of God's fulfillment was going to be through Jesus himself. And he says, I am the true vine. I am the true means of bringing people to God. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, verse number two now. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So there's two types of branches Jesus is going to talk to us about. And that means that there's two types of people. Because Jesus represents a vine, a plant, right? The strength of the plant. The Father is the one who inspects and maintains this vine. So remember, it's a metaphor. It's a comparison. It's an illustration. So if Jesus is the vine, then people represent those branches. So what kinds of people are there? There's actually three, I would say. There's three types of people as they relate to Jesus as the vine. There's ones who bear what? No fruit, right? There's ones who bear no fruit. Then what other types are there? There's some that bear just a little bit of fruit, right? And then there's some that what? They bear much fruit. Which do we want to be? Oh, yeah. This is the right answer. Yeah. So there's three types of vines. So now, this passage I want to clear up any confusion that could be here. Look what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's just kind of follow this out, then we'll come back a little bit. Every branch in me that beareth what? Not fruit. So looks at a branch and there is no fruit. Have you seen that before? I have blueberry bushes at my house and they're actually pretty fruitful. There's some branches on there that have tons and tons of fruit. But you know what there's a lot of? There's a lot of dead wood on them. A lot of it. I mean, there are big, giant branches that just, I don't know when they've ever produced. There's nothing on them. They're fruitless. They don't do anything. And then, so you see that. Have you seen that before? It looks different, doesn't it? You can tell a healthy branch and you can see a dead branch. Not just by the fruit, but they're shriveled up, they're dead. And you know, I cut some of those, and when I put them on the fire, you know what? I've cut healthy branches off and thrown them on the fire, and they take a while to burn, right? But that old dead branch, you saw how dead it was when you threw it in the fire, because it was completely dried out. I mean, it was like putting kindling on a fire, just boom, burned right up. And that's kind of the picture that you're going to read here. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, as the husbandman goes through with his pruners, he takes that branch away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So the Father, the husbandman, is not satisfied when we just bear a little bit of fruit, is he? He's not. What's he going to do? Purge. He's going to cleanse. He's going to work on that branch. He's going to move on that branch and take action on that branch so that it is more fruitful. Everything that God does in our lives is to make us more fruitful. Let's read on. Okay, now ye, verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. So much fruit, the life of fruitfulness comes from being well connected to the vine. So there's two things you see, and this is the Christian life all summed up pretty simply. It's, first of all, the branch has to abide. It has to remain, it has to stay plugged in, and it has to depend. It has to depend in faith and trust in the vine to provide for it. You disconnect a branch that's not connected to a vine is what? That branch is not going to do anything. It's not going to produce any fruit. Zero fruit. Or it's dead. Verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If a man abide, look at it again, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Who would these people be? They're unbelievers, right? So let's look back at verse number 2, and let's clear up any confusion that could be there. Verse number 2 says, every branch in me. So somebody could raise a question with this passage and say, what? What could the question that comes up be? Now, I want you to think through this almost like critically, like if you're trying to understand this and not just wait, you know, for me to explain it. But what could the question, the problem in somebody's mind perhaps, that could come up when they read this? Right, right. So somebody could look at that and say, well, what happened to this person, right? Why are they not now? Did they lose it? Is there something they had? And then, again in this passage, we see over and over again, we are commanded to do what? To continue, to abide, to stay. Does anybody, see that could be a little bit of confusion for somebody? Okay? I'm just trying to look at this honestly because it doesn't help us to look at a passage and just kind of gloss over it. So what we do here is we look at this. Jesus says, every branch in me. Well, if you look in your Bible, let me get you this passage real quick. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Keep your mark here in John, but go to Romans chapter 8. Verse number 1. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now, what's the statement? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't have time to go to all of them, but all over again in the Scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about being in Christ. In fact, go to Ephesians now, chapter 1. I'll show you one more passage. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What's it say? In Christ. In Christ. According as he hath chosen us, how? In him. Now, did you notice in John, that statement is also there, every branch in me. But what I want to show you is that John is using that differently than how we find it in Paul's epistles. Okay? So Paul says again here, verse number 4, chapter of Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Skip down to verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted where? Accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? It's Jesus Christ. So our acceptance, our salvation, our forgiveness, we are accepted not on the basis of us, but on the basis of who? On the work of who? Jesus. We're accepted. It says here, he's chosen us. You could also go to John chapter 10, where Jesus said, we're not going to go there, but Jesus says that everyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Yet what's happening in this passage, in John chapter number 15, where we are, is the Father is coming and he's casting branches out. Is he not? It's exactly what he's doing. He's inspecting the branch. He's cutting the branch off. So what we need to realize is that you read the scripture, and the Bible makes it clear that we are in Christ, and we are, if we're saved, if we've trusted Jesus, we are in Christ, and we are kept by the power of God. It's God that saves us. It's God that keeps us. It's God that causes us to remain. It's God that causes us to abide in Him. So what Jesus is talking about is something entirely different in John chapter 15, when he, verse number 2, when he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit." He's doing is he's just making an illustration. He says that there could be a person that is that has a connection to me, that has some relationship to me, but that doesn't mean that they abide in me. That doesn't truly mean that they belong to me. And who, in this very moment, in this very time in history, as Jesus said this, who is the perfect example of that? You got it? Judas. Judas is the example of that. And the disciples are even being prepared for that. He says, hey, I'm like a vine, and there are branches. Some of those branches connected to me, they're people like Judas that have been around him, that have hurt him, but they're fruitless people. Why? Because they're dead. They may be in, like that dead branch at my on my, and you got to be careful that you don't take an illustration too far, right? Like you can, like some people will take parables and illustrations and they'll break it down to, now the bark on the branch is representative of this or that. You see what I'm saying? You don't get into that. Jesus is making a simple statement here. He's not expounding on the doctrine like Paul would later. He's making it simple. Like, look at this branch. You see that dead, look at this vine. You see that dead branch right there? It's not connected. It's not truly abiding because it's dead. There's no life in it. It's not drawing any sustenance from the vine. In the same way, a church can be filled with can be filled with all kinds of different people. There could be some that bear no fruit. There could be some that bear a little bit of fruit, and there are some that bear much fruit. Now, two of those people are connected and abiding to the vine, but one of them is not. And there will come a day, when the husbandman comes, the father comes, and he inspects his vine. And it doesn't, because he knows who's connected and he knows who's not. Correct? I could look at a vine and I could say, boy, I can't really see a lot of fruit there. But who's the fruit inspector? Well, the father's the fruit inspector. It's not my job. And that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a field where there's wheat that's sown, but there are also weeds that are sown. And we don't, it's not our job to go out and to pick the weeds out and to identify, well, there's fruitful, there's not fruitful, this is, it's not. Whose job is that? God's. So he lets it all grow up. But he knows. You see, God knows your heart. God knows if you belong to him. God knows if you are in him and if you're not. But eventually, that will be revealed. Because eventually the husbandman, the father, will remove the fruitless branches and will cast them into the fire where they'll be burned. So then with that in mind, the challenge is not, so go out there and prove it and bear some fruit. It's not what he says, is it? There's a danger here, is there not? There's a danger that someone could be a fruitless branch, and that would mean what? A fruitless branch, if a person goes through their whole life as a fruitless branch, what does that tell? What would that tell them about the condition of their soul? They're not in Christ. They don't belong to him. They're not his. They'll be cut off, they'll be burned. They'll face the final fiery judgment. So that person, you could sit here today and you could say, oh no, right? I've been there in my life, all right? Like, oh no, I don't know if I have enough fruit. Has anybody ever had that fear in their life before? Anybody ever thought that? Like fear, like am I really a branch? Am I really in? Or at the end, am I just going to be whacked off? You know, what's going to happen? And I'm humorizing it a little bit, but that's a fear that people had. I had that kind of fear when I was a kid. A lot of people deal with that. There's a fear. So what the command in the passage of Scripture is not, and this is the amazing thing, the command in the Scripture is not, so here's what I want you to do. You go out there and you start bearing some fruit. You go out there and you know, can you imagine that branch? Imagine if I got out there and started talking to that branch. And I said, you stupid branch, You squeeze, it doesn't matter. That dead branch can do nothing. And if you are a dead branch, there's no life of the Holy Spirit within you, you can try as hard as you want to bear fruit. And you can bear, you might do some things that look somewhat fruitful to other people, but you're never going to bear fruit no matter how hard you try anyway. What is the command if somebody, if you sit here in fear this morning and you say, oh no, how can I truly know if I'm in Him? What's the command? Well, the command actually here, that's another passage, you know, sow a spiritual seed. But in this passage that we're looking at, the command is to do what? Abide. Well, how did we become? Now, abide means to what? It means to continue. It means to remain. How did we ever become a part of this vine in the first place? Yeah. How did we become a part of the vine? We became a part of the vine when we accepted Christ. And accepting Christ, the Bible says we repent of our sin and we believe on the name of Jesus. Right? That's salvation. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. God, I'm a sinner. I'm going to cling to Jesus and trust Him. That's when we begin abiding in Christ. Now, there's this great, if you study the Bible, and I want to give you something this morning, maybe you weren't ready for it, but I want to give you something that I hope that'll stick with you as you read the Bible. Okay? All throughout the New Testament, we are charged, we are encouraged to continue. Paul says it to Timothy, continue in the things that you've heard of me. Continue in it. Continue in the faith. Remain in the faith. And some people will say, see what that means right there? What that means is that if you don't try to stay in, if you don't try to stay plugged in, then you're going to lose it. You're going to miss out. But then we have these other passages of scriptures that are so clear that it's God that keeps us. It's Him that keeps us there. So why does He tell us this? Why? Because the more we abide in what we've been given, the more fruitful we become. If a person ever stops and says, oh no, have I borne enough fruit? Am I there? Well, the answer is simply this. Just draw closer to Jesus. Abide. Continue believing. Continue repenting. See, we get really focused on the moment that we were saved, right? And that's important. That there was a day. Salvation's not a process. It begins at a moment of time. We're justified in a moment where we repent of our sin and we believe on the name of Jesus. But do you realize that the Christian life never moves past that? Do you realize that the very same way that we were saved, we repent, we believe on the name of Jesus, that is all that the Christian life is? It's an everyday continuing as we began. It's an everyday saying yes. It's surrender. You can phrase it a lot of different ways. In fact, the Bible does a lot of different ways, but it's very simple. It's very straightforward that that's what it is. As a Christian, yes, we repented and believed to be saved, but that's all we do for the rest of our Christian life, is we repent and we continue believing the gospel. We repent and we continue believing the gospel. And sometimes what happens is we wander away from that simple truth that is in Jesus and we become less fruitful. And God, the husbandman, as the husbandman comes along and he sees, boy, that fruit is not producing very much. So then what's he going to do, the Bible says? He's going to purge it. He's going to purge it. That means there might be some things, some suckers growing off of that branch that have to be cut back. There's some things in our lives that have to be cut back, and we're drawn into a closer relationship of abiding in Him. Through what? He comes in, He purges, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and we say, you know what? Yeah, I need to repent. I need to continue believing that your goodness and your blood has forgiven me of that. I mean, that's the Christian life. It's trusting and it's obeying. Just listen to some of the songs, some of the great songs that have been written throughout Christian history. Some of those greatest songs came out of movements in history where people came back to this simple truth. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. That songwriter talks about There are heights of love and things that they can't experience until they draw closer to Christ. It's a simple process of trusting Him and obeying Him. Read on with me. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We talked about that. So what's the answer? To any person, whether they are a totally... The great thing is the answer is the same, whether you're bearing a little bit of fruit, whether you're bearing a lot of fruit, or whether you're convicted this morning and you're bearing no fruit at all, the answer is always the same at any stage of your Christian life. Even before you're saved, it's the same. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Because the moment you do that, guess what? You're connected to the vine. You're in Him. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, now he's going to describe what fruitfulness actually looks like. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What's a mark of a very fruitful life? We just read it. What's a mark of a fruitful life? Well, there's a mark in verse number 7, an identifying feature. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What's a mark of a fruitful life? Answered prayer. If this abiding process is happening, you're in the Word is in you, you're close to the Lord, He says you're going to ask for things, and guess what? They're going to be answered. There's an expectation that prayers will be answered in the affirmative. Not always, and we've talked about this before, but there's an expectation that the closer I am to Christ, guess what? The more of my prayers are answered. Verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear, what? Much fruit. And that God wants this to happen. So shall ye be my disciples. This is how you truly follow me, he says. Verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What's the word now? Continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. Verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Well, he gives a simple formula right there. I want to continue in the love of Jesus. I want to feel your love this morning, right? And people, that's how they do it. But Jesus says, oh, you want to feel my love? You want to experience my love? What should you do? No, come on, everybody. I just read it in verse 10. What do you got to do? If you want to feel the love of God and experience it, what do you got to do? Do what he says. Keep his commandments. That's the Christian life. It's abiding. That means staying in that position of surrender, as Dennis says, where we are in a position of repentance and belief. That's staying. That's depending on him and then obeying him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he what? Abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. That's the happy, plugged-in, fruitful Christian life. That's when we experience the love of God. That's what gives us a song and leads to that. A feeling of love, but it's simple. If you keep my commandments, verse 10, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain. It's that, again, remain. Abide. Continue. I want you to live a continually fruitful life where you're continually abiding in me. That your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he's going to give them. He's going to give them the example of love, his submissive obedience to the Father as he lays his life down for us. And then he calls us friends in verse 14. And this is where the relationship, we talk about, you know, having a relationship with Jesus, which is a bit of a misconception because everyone has a relationship with Jesus. It just depends how good that is. But here he says he wants to draw us into a relationship of friendship. And he says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And then he says in verse 16 that he's chosen us to go and to bring forth fruit. So he's encouraging his disciples. There will be vines. There will be branches that are cut off. There are branches that will be cut off. They'll be burned. They were never truly in the vine. They don't belong here. They're not part of it. The Father will take care of that. But all you need to worry about is just abiding in Him. Just abiding in Him, trusting Him, obeying Him, walking with Him. And guess who bears the fruit? He does. And the fruit here is answered prayer, and it's also obedience. It's a life of righteousness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's His filling. So what the Scriptures do, and again, you'll read it all throughout the New Testament, is this perfect balance where He says, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to hold you secure in Me, and you're going to continue abiding in Me. And you're going to continue believing in Me. And you're going to continue trusting in Me. And that's the perfect security that we have in Jesus, and that's the answer to a fruitful, blessed, and joyful life, as we see here. So there's a lot in there in just a few verses. So let's pray together this morning that we would continue faithfully, that we would be fruitful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask that You'd... Lord, first of all, we thank You that You're a true vine, that our lives, as they're connected to You, are the most joyful lives that they can be. I pray that if there are any here that are not, they're not truly abiding in You at all, Lord, they've never begun that life of faith. I pray that today You'd convict them of that, that they would be fearful, and that today they would simply repent and they'd believe the gospel, they'd believe You in faith. And the rest of us, I pray that each day we'd continue in that surrendered attitude of faithfulness, of repentance, and simple trust and obedience. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.